This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Courtney Stewart joins me live in studio on Rose Hill Drive. She's a star reporter over at The Hook, online at readthehook.com. She has been on the Morgan Harrington case from the very beginning, and she joins us with the very latest. How are you? It's good to see you.
It's nice to see you, too.
So where are we with this investigation? What's going on?
Well, there hasn't been a whole lot of public statements. There haven't been a lot of public statements being made by law enforcement. The most recent information that I have really comes from a meeting with the Harringtons, Dan and Jill Harrington, Morgan's parents, last week, where they came to town. They met with law enforcement, and then they came and met with a number of media members on the bridge, the Copley Road Bridge, where Morgan was last seen. So, yeah, basically talking about waiting for test results still, talking about their belief absolutely that this was somebody local.
Yeah, I mean, they have said
who killed her.
They've said, we're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, they have said, Morgan's parents have said, they believe that whoever killed her is a member of this community.
Absolutely.
And that there's a killer loose in Charlottesville.
Absolutely. They and law enforcement as well have stressed that it's somebody who knows Anchorage Farm. It's somebody who is familiar with this area. It's somebody who lives here. It's somebody who would know how to get into that farm, how to access that property, and who left her there.
Tell me more about the research you've done about, they found her body or the remains of her body. It was referred to as the skeletal remains. So
right.
Obviously there were bones. How much more was there? We don't know.
Right. I mean, I heard them described as skeletonized and partially skeletonized. So I actually talked to a forensic scientist, a guy by the name of William Bass.
Yeah, very famous guy.
Yeah, he has
saw a documentary about
him. Yeah, he has a facility down in Tennessee that's informally called the Body Farm, and he's really been responsible for doing a huge amount of research on decomposition that has really helped in solving crimes and in forensic research, because before he came along, you really didn't know how things like temperature or weather or natural influences would affect decomposition.
And for folks who don't know, what they have at this research facility is they literally have bodies on the ground and in different environments on the ground,
right,
whether in leaves or in dirt or in all types of different
water,
environments.
Right.
Water,
exposed
yeah.
to sun, not exposed to sun, and, you know, in the trunk of a car, in a, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they do all this stuff, and then they very meticulously track the conditions. So, like, each day, if it hit 80 degrees that day, they know, and then they can look at the whole thing and say, this expedited this process or this.
And they can see how these environmental conditions affect the decay of a human body, so that when you come across a human body in any given environment, you would have a better sense then how long it's been there and what factors have influenced this body.
Exactly. And so in my conversation with him, he was very optimistic that they should have a good amount of forensic evidence to work with in her case, just given the time of year, the fact that it was fall and the temperatures were cool, the fact that we were buried under 2 feet of snow for much of December, and that really her body wasn't discovered until January, and she'd only been, the snow had just melted. So she had basically been under snow, and it's so horrible and sad to think about, but that may actually help police.
Yeah.
In terms of getting the evidence they need to arrest somebody.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, the latest on the Harrington case. It's 20 minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia, 48 degrees. So are there any leads at all that you've become aware of that the police are pursuing?
They have not come out and said anything.
Yeah.
They have not said anything. And honestly, I have not heard anything specific about them having a person of interest.
But they're still calling for, anybody who knows anything about this area, right? I mean, they're still taking input.
They have really a plea out for anyone in the community who has any information specifically about the farm or about anybody they know who might know about the farm. And they have set up a special tip line. I don't have the number here in front of me, but it is on various websites, the findmorgan.com website. It's on some of my stories at readthehook.com.
I'll get it before you leave here.
So, yeah, and they want those tips called in. That is specifically for Anchorage Farm tips. Other tips can go to the regular tip line. And they are sorting through. They say they're getting a lot of information. They may, I suspect that they do. I hope that they do have a lot more information than they've shared publicly. So I'm just hoping that they're making progress behind the scenes and that, you know, they're going to have some announcement at some point in the near future.
That tip line is area code 434-352-3467. Again, 352-3467 if you know anything about Anchorage Farm. And that's really what it is. It's a call for information, you know, not necessarily about Morgan particularly, but about if you know anybody or if you know anything remotely about this part of Albemarle County.
If you know somebody who used to go out there to hunt without permission or with permission, if you know somebody who used to party there, you know, I think there's an old home site. I've heard people talking about the fact that there were parties in houses right around there where people that, you know, would have socialized might be familiar with the property, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know something that you think pertains to Morgan or the night of October 17th, anything about that area or people that might know that area is helpful.
Courtney, what did the researcher Bass tell you about how they could have known perhaps that this was definitely homicide? Because they said, we looked at her remains, this was a homicide. We know that she just didn't wander drunk into a field and pass out and hit her head.
Right. I think what he implied, or not even implied, what he said is that there had to be some obvious physical damage to her remains that suggested how she would have died. They might not know for sure that that's what killed her, but they were able to see it could have been a gunshot, it could have been a stabbing, it could have been that she had broken bones, it could have been something, but something that was clearly not a result of natural occurrence that allowed them to call it a homicide relatively quickly. They didn't have to wait for toxicology, things like that. She wasn't poisoned. I don't think it was a poisoning if they're calling it a homicide before the toxicology is coming.
There were signs on her remains. Somebody told me that you can actually see on skeletal remains, you can actually see evidence of strangling because of a little bone.
The hyoid bone.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. It would be broken.
It could. That doesn't always happen. And also that is such a tiny bone that it can be lost. You know, if you don't, it just depends. I mean, that bone could end up being gone, but that is one way that you can tell. And so that is something that they may have seen, although I don't know.
So at this point, we're just waiting for the toxicology reports to come
back. Right? And any DNA, there may be DNA from the scene that they were able to obtain, either from under her nails or I don't know.
So we're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. It's 23 after 4 o'clock here. This is Charlottesville right now, WINA. Tell me this. When Virginia has the sex offender registry, so that sex offenders are put on this registry, this information is available on a website. Mm-hmm. You can go to it. It'll list their name and their address. Mm-hmm. And I have been told that there are a number of sex offenders who live down near Anchorage Farm, one of which actually lives almost next to that property. And is, I'm just speaking hypothetically here, just out of interest. I'm not accusing anybody, but I just find it interesting that this person is, and I've been told, is has committed rapes before and is a young man.
Yeah, there are six that list North Garden as their address. And of those, there is one who's a young man. I think he's 20, I think. But, you know, they don't. There's no reason to suspect him specifically or anybody else on that list. However, he does live within, I think it's under 2 miles, sort of as the crow flies, that, you know, he's right down there. And so I'm sure that police have been checking out everybody's alibi, but particularly any sex offenders in the area.
So at the very least, this would be a person of interest, I guess. Not necessarily a suspect, but what they call it, a person of interest to look
into. I think that one of the first things they probably do, having spoken to some other investigators, not on this case, but just in general, is that they will check the alibis of sex offenders in the area just to start ruling them out. And so I think they did that early on, and I think that they probably did that immediately upon discovering her remains, focusing more on the sex offenders that would have been right around there.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And again, for folks who don't know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, you can't, if somebody had her in their car, you couldn't pull off 29 and drive to that site where her body was found, literally, because there's fences in the way. I mean, you would have to get out of the car, put her in a four-wheeler, assuming you're hauling a four-wheeler, and then drive out across these fields and through these, you know, gates and stuff
far
to get
closer
there.
To come to the site where she was found, far closer to either come through Blandemar Farm Estates, which had a cul-de-sac that gets you pretty close, or to come off of Red Hill Road and come through the woods. And then even then you'd have to cross creeks and barbed wire fences, but the distance is actually closer than coming in through Anchorage Farm.
Yeah, so much easier to get to this site from that neighborhood behind the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been down there, right?
I mean, yeah, I haven't been, I have not actually been onto the farm, but I've certainly been on all the public roads and
in Blandimar, yeah.
Yeah, in Blandimar and on Red Hill looking into these woods where you could walk through to get to the location.
Well, hopefully. I mean, it's just sort of, it's so scary to think.
It's horrifying.
That this person exists in our community.
Yeah.
Could be listening right now.
Listening. And it's just, it's really disturbing. And Morgan's parents, Dan and Jill, have said over and over again that they really feel like that we should be concerned. I mean, people in Charlottesville should be concerned that there is somebody who has killed a young woman who is walking among us and who is getting away with
working
it.
Working alongside you, yeah.
Right. I mean, we need to come together as a community and make sure that if you know anything, if you know somebody who knows something, that you make sure that the law enforcement gets what they need to help bring this case some closure.
Absolutely. The tip line is 352-3467. 352-3467. Help us find Morgan's killer. Courtney Stewart from The Hook. You can read her work online at readthehook.com. Courtney, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.